You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Purple Daily is daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
It is a Feedback Friday live on the Purple Daily YouTube channel where we just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. And finding their quarterback of the future is a really good step in that direction. Boys, the first two feedback questions, they're not even really questions. It's anonymous, reckless speculation from Purple Daily listeners that have connections to other organizations in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is, I'm all over this stuff.
It's, you know, we get DMs, we get emails from people. No idea if they're credible or telling the truth. But when someone says, don't use my name, I know someone high up in the Patriots organization.
Yep, which you got.
You damn sure right we're going to read it on this podcast.
Yep. Steve S. Belichick is all I saw on that.
Where's he now? Seattle?
Washington, yes. He's in Seattle. He's on the Washington coaching staff.
Oh, UW. That's
UW.
Right.
Yep. Gorgeous campus. You saw it, right?
It's a beautiful campus. Great area. That whole area around Lake Union and Puget Sound. He's going to enjoy
Seattle
his
fan,
time there.
So. Yeah, great. It's great. Good restaurants, food. Some good beers. Yes, no question.
Some good football. So, okay, before we get into some really fun, anonymous, reckless speculation, tell the audience about Quick Trip, Judd, the presenting sponsor here of Purple Daily.
First of all, I'm sporting
I need
this.
Gas,
because you know
actually.
What?
My tank's almost at that E button. It's
what
25
are you doing?
Below. I know. I need to. It's part of my runs afterwards today.
It's not that cold. And don't forget that when you do go to Quick Trip, you're going to get that quality gasoline guarantee, which means whatever you put in your tank from Quick Trip, it is guaranteed. And now you're looking at all the delicious choices. And Declan, while you're getting gas, you're probably thinking, you know what? The fiance and I, what are we going to eat tonight? And I'm going to tell you right now, Quick Trip is the answer, because this is not just snacks. These are great meals, including their chicken tenders, roasted whole chicken, fried chicken bone in, 2 or 8 piece, prepared fresh daily. That's right, every single day. Great for meal prep or easy dinners. We're talking roasted whole chicken, boneless wings. Quick Trip. You know what? When you make that run, you only have to make one stop, basically, Dex, for all your needs, because Quick Trip's got you covered.
Let's start with this first one here. And you can always hit us up through the feedback tab. That's the best way to email the show, whether it's for Feedback Friday or if you want to put in a Write That Down request, you can send us messages through the Score North app and that feedback tab. We also monitor the YouTube comment section. This is from Anonymous. Good morning. I have debated sending this in over the last few days, but finally decided to pass part of this information along as some food for thought for you guys. I am a Vikings fan. I watch you guys on YouTube, but I have a very close connection who works high up in the Patriots organization, and I will just leave it at that.
Reckless speculation.
I've seen a lot of content out there, your show included, discussing whether the Vikings will be trading up to take J.J. McCarthy at 4 or 5, and I just want to say this. It is not a foregone conclusion that if Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels go 1 and 2, that the Patriots would take Drake May over J.J. McCarthy. There's been an extensive amount of conversation between Patriots higher-ups and Jim Harbaugh in regards to J.J. McCarthy, much more so than what I would say is just your normal fact-finding type of thing that goes on this time of year. And while it certainly wouldn't be the sole reason the Patriots take him at 3, it's not for nothing that in New England, people in that building have had some past successes with Michigan quarterbacks. There's always some kind of big surprise near the top of the draft. And if I was a betting person, J.J. McCarthy to the Patriots might be a good bet to place a little money on. It may not be an attempted move up for J.J. that the Vikings are going to make. It might be for Drake May instead after J.J. goes first.
Oh, bravo.
There you go. Hold on a second.
Dude,
okay. So as reckless speculation investigators here, it's one of three things. That note is either credible on its face, not credible on its face, or a smokescreen that is J.J. McCarthy's steam because it's really because the Patriots really want someone else. What are we dealing with here? Like if we are a CSU, Purple Daily CSU, the newest show on CBS coming up, what are we dealing with here as we go through that? Exactly right.
Looks like everyone's tightening their belts in this economy.
Exactly right. Well, that was a bad draft. Anyway,
which bin do you think it falls into?
Oh,
you think the smoke screen?
That
you
smoke
think
screen
someone does, in the Patriots organization is using anonymous friend, knowing that anonymous friend would send this to us, knowing that we would 100% read it on
anonymous friend might just be a blabbermouth. So, like, it might not be intended for us. Like, this person, you know, no offense to our fine program. I think our show is great. But this person probably, Patriots person, leaked this because friend is a blabbermouth. And so friend has probably sent this to Colin Coward, Purple Daily.
Could be the case.
So I'm with Dex. I'm going smokescreen. Yeah,
there is another one here that we're going to get to, but... just for some context, okay, maybe you're new to the show. Maybe you just discovered the show in the last couple weeks because you're looking for Vikings offseason content.
Yep.
On this show is the sports dad, Judd Zulgad, the former lead Vikings beat writer at the Star Tribune during the Brett Favre watch years. Okay, you've been...
I've worked a lot of cases.
An insider. You've worked a lot of football speculation cases.
Yep.
And I'm guessing even right now, if you were a beat writer, it'd be a lot easier. People could DM you stuff all day long. It was kind of the early days of Twitter when you were at your peak there. But I'm sure you got a lot of anonymous emails and tips, maybe a disguised voice phone call. Hey, I got some information for you. No,
I got a lot of, in fact, during the height of the Favre stuff, I had a guy in Hattiesburg or in that part of the country who would like send me this intel, which I then had to be a soothsayer and go through and like see if it was accurate or semi. So there's a lot of things here, but I'm going on this one. See, I think that there is, like, we right now, we are in Subterfuge City, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is where the height of subterfuge comes in. And it's like the Vikings. Like, if you're trying to say, okay, how deep does this go, right? Like, the subterfuge, how deep, how petty are teams, and I don't blame them, but how petty are teams willing to get? I saw, I think it was on X today, if I'm not mistaken, draft guy Matt Miller, ESPN, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He put out on Twitter today, hey, you know, there's a bunch of executives and coaches here to watch J.J. McCarthy's pro day at Michigan. Among those missing are Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell. But we know they have a private workout scheduled for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the feeling is that the Vikings are going to make that a habit of sorts, because you can set up the private workout / visits. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the Vikings, I think, are trying not to tip their hand on which of these QBs they actually want. So they're going so far as to not send their lead people to a pro day. So like, we've gone from combine to, okay, pro day, to now, oh, no, no, au contraire. Yeah. We want a private look-see. That's where we are right now.
There's so much out there. There's, even at the top of the draft, it looks like Caleb Williams is going to go number one. But you have some really smart football people. Merrill Hodge. Over the years, Merrill Hodge, for like 25 years, former NFL player, Steelers, used to host really like the foremost film breakdown show on national TV. They tucked it away at like 7:30 in the morning on ESPN, but it was Edge NFL Matchup.
Great. Love that show.
And I almost feel like that show should come back as like a YouTube channel or something. But you got him out there saying Caleb Williams if he's drafted number one and they throw him in the fire, is going to be a bust. He should be a third round pick. There's another guy. Is it Dan Kelly? I think the guy's name. He's a former Jet scout. He's got a Twitter account and a website. And he's out there saying, based on my experience, former NFL scout, watching players over the years, Caleb Williams is an absolute bust waiting to happen for all of these reasons, for footwork reasons, for maturity reasons, right?
I think I saw that one.
Is there a chance that the Bears get cold feet on Caleb Williams in the next 4 or 5 weeks? So there was a pro day yesterday. The more they take information in. Like, we're a long ways away from the finish line, I guess, is what I'm saying here.
Absolutely.
I don't have to do this next one, right? We can move. You guys don't want to hear the next one, do you? The anonymous reckless.
Hear the next one.
We can just
move on. Yeah, no, just go to some like milquetoast boring comment. The one thing I'm concerned about is do you guys think if we do this too much that the Vikings might become upset with us? Because I mean, I'd hate to have the team upset with us. That seems to be a problem in this town. You don't want the team to be upset with you.
That feels like you're attacking another entity or something.
I'm just saying in this town, it feels overall like the media doesn't want teams.
Are you saying
we
won't get our yearly appearance from Kevin O'Connell? Like, in
yeah, that's
June?
Exactly.
Like,
is that
what, but like, what about this should be upsetting to the Vikings?
I'm just being a complete
we're helping
smart,
the Vikings
I'm being
bring
a complete
information.
Smart ass. I'm being a complete smart ass here. I just
sounded very personal there for Doug.
Actually, it wasn't. It wasn't personal.
Okay. Here's some more anonymous, reckless speculation from the Sackmaster via email to the show. The Sackmaster chimes in. Urgent in all caps, 2 exclamation points. Phil, Dex, and Sports Dad. Big fan of the show, reaching out from down here in Arizona where I have some interesting information. I can't reveal my sources, but I am close with someone who works in the Arizona Cardinals offices. It is so reckless to even be reading these on the show.
Oh, I love it. Keep going.
We asked for feedback. We're getting feedback. Yeah, proceed.
I cannot reveal my sources, but today he told me the thought in the room in Arizona is that they won't be able to grab Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4 because they believe the Patriots are taking him at 3 instead of a quarterback.
We've seen that, actually.
A lot of mock drafts have had that, right?
That's very possible. That's not reckless.
So the Cardinals are getting ready for the possibility of trading with another team. And by the way, their GM came out yesterday and said, we have a big neon sign above our head that says, open for business at 4.
Monty loves to trade.
Monty Asenfort?
Yeah, he loves to trade.
My source may have just been messing with me and telling me the Vikings are preparing to send the house to them in order to take the 4th pick, but there's the information.
That's great.
That seems fair.
Speculation.
That does not, like, if you put the pieces of the puzzle together, that actually makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're the Cardinals and you're on the clock after Marvin Harrison Jr. goes 3rd, I would think that there's a very good chance the Vikings are on the phone with you. The Giants, like, I still think the Giants, the Daniel Jones, moving on from Jones makes a ton of sense, or at least being very prepared to.
Yeah.
So, like, that actually, to me, I'm going credible. I'm going door one on that. I don't think that's a smokescreen. I don't think it's not true. I think it's a credible friend who could clean the Johns.
Well, when you compare the two different emails, the first one says, I have a close connection who works high up in the Patriots organization.
Yeah, I'm questioning that a little bit.
We don't know what department, but high up.
Yep.
High up, what would mean
that's
to
not
me
a janitor
like
or something.
You're managing people or something. Yeah. Right.
Yep.
This other one just says, I have a source who works in the offices of the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah.
Late night maintenance man was dumping out the garbage can. Monty was burning the midnight oil. And he heard him say, okay, here's what we're going to do. Those Vikings are going to be suckers. I like it.
What is interesting, I heard Mina Kimes talking about this yesterday with Dan Orlovsky on her podcast. And speaking of the Vikings, like not wanting to tip their hands necessarily, but when J.J. McCarthy's going in these mocks to maybe the Patriots or maybe, you know, to some other team that trades up, and Colin Cowherd has talked about this too. Minnesota is the most ready for like a pro-ready quarterback to enter that system because of all the infrastructure that's in the Vikings offense around him, where if he goes the Patriots, that's probably going to be a disaster for J.J. McCarthy, at least to start. Like, they'd have to build up that entire roster almost overnight for it to be successful with J.J. That's where the Vikings going up to 5 or 4, maybe 3, to get J.J. McCarthy makes so much sense because everything around it would be basically ready for J.J. to be a turnkey home, and he's ready to move in and go.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. The Vikings have the best situation for any rookie quarterback in this year's draft. Better than the Bears, certainly better than the Patriots, as Declan outlined, the Commanders. Like, any of these quarterbacks should be begging their agent to somehow change the narrative so that they fall to the Vikings trading up. The Vikings trade up to 5 and have waiting arms for Jaden Daniels or whoever it is. Okay, Patrick Kane chimes in via the feedback tab.
From Detroit.
Okay.
Having a nice year.
Yeah, Patty Kane has a lot of time on his hands, I guess, when he's
still got the touch, man.
Skating around.
Great hands. Can score those goals.
With Sam Darnold already under KOC's wing, and knowing that he has had 5 offensive coordinators in 4 years, along with being on 2 horrible teams, do we have any faith that maybe Darnold is the quarterback of the future for the Purple? Coaches that know quarterbacks all seem to like what they see in Sam Darnold and seem to make mention of the bad environments that he's been in before, that may have been more of the result than Sam Darnold's lack of talent. If he can be, then he's a steal, and maybe the 2 first-round picks can be used to fill other needs. Problem is, you won't know anything about him until after the draft's over. But
exactly right. Like, ideally, yes, that would be great. And I think that there is a very solid case to be made that if Kyle Shanahan did some voodoo with Darnold, and let's say he comes here now and he's more prepared,
Molly Rob,
and then O'Connell gets hold of him and starts him, and let's say he's good. Like, he might not be a Pro Bowl player, but he's good. It's a 1-year contract. I think in the perfect world, the rookie, if you draft one, does not play, right? And so he can sit and watch and learn, which takes about a year for lots of guys. And then Darnold achieves success and goes and signs a 3-year contract elsewhere, rookie steps in here. But that's the point, is like, you don't know that. I think that would be a very, very risky thing to say, you know what, we're going to make Sam Darnold into a really quality starting QB. Now, is that potential there? I have no clue. It could be, but I don't think that the Vikings know that. I will say this, though. I gave this some thought last night. If they don't take a quarterback, and let's just say they stand pat, okay? They don't trade up, they stand pat. And they do take defense. And I think I sent you this, guys, this off of Twitter yesterday. Mm-hmm. Somebody tweeted, and it's a draft guy, that the word is that if the Vikings don't take a quarterback and stay at 11, Byron Murphy Jr., the big DT, is going to be their choice. This could be a very interesting defensive team very quickly.
Oh, absolutely. It was last year.
No, but I'm just saying, like, look at the components now, though.
I agree. Yeah,
Daniil's a big loss because he's the best player that they lost. But you've now got 2 rush edges who really are more Flores-type guys, health provided, which is a big thing. But in Grenard and in Van Ginkle, those 2 guys can drop back into coverage more. Those guys can rush. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say you take a day 1 DT, big guy now. Because, like, you brought a bunch of guys in, but I don't know if they're good or not. But day 1 DT, your linebacker core now, I think it's going to be more in tune to what Flores wants. Your safeties, you know, are good. The cornerbacks are still a little bit shaky, probably. But the point is, you've now, within the course of 3 years, gone from a defense that personnel-wise was probably shaky and had a bad DC to 2024, possibly, a DC that we know is one of the best in the business, and personnel that could be damn good.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be interesting if this team did take on the persona of the offense is really, it's good. The defense is really good.
You know what's wild about Sam Darnold? He is just 26 years old.
Yeah.
He'll be 27 in June, but he's 26 years old. And yeah. It's certainly a different circumstance, but like Aaron Rodgers didn't start till he was 25. Like, he sat behind Favre for those 3-4 years. I know it's different scenarios, but he didn't start till he was 25 years old. He didn't morph into the quarterback he was till he was 26, 27 years old. Mm-hmm. So I do think Kevin O'Connell can get more out of Sam Darnold. And there are some that are grasping at the narrative of who's this year's Baker Mayfield, right? Like, Baker then all of a sudden pops back up in Tampa Bay after being kind of a cast off and playing for three teams in a calendar year. Who's the next Baker Mayfield? And some are picking, oh, Sam Darnold's the next Baker Mayfield. I don't know if I can go that far. But I do believe that Kevin O'Connell can 100% get more out of Sam Darnold than anywhere else with the Jets or obviously with the Panthers. He was just a backup with Shanahan, which I'm sure he was able to learn things. But yeah, 100% KOC could get more out of Sam Darnold.
I think we don't know how much he's going to play, but if he were to play a full season in this infrastructure, Justin Jefferson, assuming he signs a contract, comes back, Kevin O'Connell, he would have his best season, I think, by far as an NFL quarterback. So you have to make room for two things. And I disagree with something Judd said a couple minutes ago that you said you can't waste your time trying to make him. I disagree. I think you should be looking to make Sam Darnold as good as possible so that if you need to play him, you can win games. And I'm not interested in tanking in 2024. You should also be drafting a quarterback, cultivating him, and moving forward with the idea that that young quarterback on a rookie scale contract is going to be your guy. But if Darnold winds up playing really well for a big chunk of the year and goes and signs like a Baker Mayfield contract, correct me if I'm wrong, but then you would get a 2026, probably a comp pick at that point, because he would be signing like a multi-year, you know, $25, $30, $35 million contract. So,
absolutely. My point was that you can't count on that. So yeah. Like, if he plays well, awesome. But my point
is you can't
sit there right now and say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make Sam Darnold into a Pro Bowl QB. But yeah. I think the ideal world is that he starts and plays a lot of, if not all, of 2024, because there's nothing wrong. Yeah. Like, unless you want to sweat a year of the rookie quarterback contract being burned, there is nothing wrong if you can develop a guy. And look, I think we discussed this on a Purple Access with Tyler and Roscoe yesterday. You know, the perfect example, the one place where I will allow completely going back to ponder PTSD is how poorly the Vikings managed McNabb and Ponder. Because they basically panicked and said, oh, McNabb can't play at halftime of a Bears game.
Yeah.
Primetime game. And threw Christian in there. It's like, that is about the most short-sighted, dumb thing that you can possibly do. I do trust that O'Connell would not come close to doing that. If Darnold struggles, I don't think that's the excuse to say, oh, screw it, let's play the rookie. I think you have to be completely convinced that the rookie quarterback is prepared to play.
Yeah. Let's see here. Bill L says, I watch Purple Daily every day. You mentioned on yesterday's episode how everyone is coming in from out of state for the draft party. Add myself coming in from Chicago and my cousin Greg coming in from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Cousin
Greg.
Let's
go.
Go Jets. Go Jets. Great year. Great season.
I love Winnipeg, people.
Never been to Winnipeg.
I haven't been there either, but anytime I've hung out like in northern Minnesota, or if they come down here for like any type of Canadian game, one of the most fun groups to just have beers with.
Oh, they're great drinkers.
Yes, great drinkers.
They are just classic drinkers.
Cousin Greg.
In fact, they got, so when the Thrashers moved, I think it was around 2011, was the year that the draft was at the X. So the draft, right, where they just sit there and tell you trades and picks. And the Jets fans showed up and got hammered. they were whooping it up the entire draft night. Absolutely blasted. It was great fun.
So looking forward to seeing Cousin Greg and anyone else coming in from out of town. Sean T says, I have a draft party idea. What if we did What about wrestling and or ESPN College Game Day style signs at the draft party? I could see the Purple Daily Universe coming up with some funny signs. I mean, so everyone's going to get a flag presented by Popcorn, by the way, and all the VIPs are going to get the popcorn bags. But I mean, I'm assuming the Fillmore lets you bring signs. I don't really know how that works, but
it might be.
No, you know what? Hold on. I think AJ mentioned that they don't.
You can't bring signs in.
Because
you
block
people's view and stuff. Yeah. Gotta be able to see the show. You know,
it is one of the coolest things Mackie and I obviously love watching old school wrestling, and so I'll put on like a 98 pay-per-view as kind of background noise if I'm putzing around during the day, and the crowd shot of just signs. It's incredible. It's thousands and thousands of people with signs.
It's a fun idea. Yeah. Everyone will get a flag though, so you can at least have when we hit the Ode to Joy. Arvidian says, what if we trade up to number 4 with the two first rounders, the 11, the 23, and select not J.J. McCarthy, but rather Marvin Harrison Jr., Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and Marvin Harrison Jr., or as he says, J.J., Addy, Marv, oh my. Darnold was the number 3 overall pick a few years ago. He beat out Trey Lance in San Francisco for the backup job. I think he could be above average, maybe more, with those weapons. A great team and weapons can win a Super Bowl. I would say, Sam Darnold has a chance to be a lot better than he previously has been. That should not change what you have to do at that position, though. Like, you still need a quarterback that can... I'm done with sort of the... Can everything else prop the quarterback up? I want the quarterback to be the one that props everyone else up for once for this franchise. So,
how do you explain to Justin Jefferson, you know, he's going into the 5th year of his contract. You clearly are trying to get him to sign, right? You bring him in for a sit down. You're like, okay, JJ, draft strategy set. He's like, oh yeah, what is it? Like, I'm finally going to get that quarterback right. And you're like, no, we're taking Marvin Harrison Jr. And you're going to get the ball still. You're going to get the ball still, but you're not going to get the ball as much.
I think there'd be room for both. I think Jordan Addison would be the one that gets squeezed out there. I think you'd have two guys that go for 1,500 plus yards. And
it sounds like a lot of fun, but I don't think it would work.
Yeah. I have seen a lot of questions too about could you trade JJ to the Cardinals, get the number 4 overall pick, and then take Marvin Harrison Jr. to replace him? But isn't that if your plan as the Vikings was, let's replace Justin Jefferson with Marvin Harrison Jr.? Yeah. Why would the Cardinals not just take Marvin Harrison Jr. on a rookie scale contract?
Right.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So I don't know if that works. Okay. Tom has a question for Judd. He says, I'm a huge fan. I listen to Purple Daily every day. I love the show. I have a question for Judd. I was out after my lunch yesterday for a post-lunch walk. This would have been yesterday, Thursday.
Walking's good for you, Tommy. I like what I'm hearing so far.
I was walking around a lake in the Southwest metro area. And I passed a gentleman on the walking path, and I wonder if it was you, Judd. Did I pass Judd on my post-lunch walk?
The South Metro. No, Tommy, I got bad news for you. I was watching hoops yesterday. I was watching hockey eventually. I did not find time for a walk. So, no, you did not. You did not. A lot of people look like me.
Send in your Judd doppelgangers, please.
And I'm not saying like identical, but if you were to walk past a guy, there's a good chance. I tell Dawn this, you know, the thing about it is men, I'm not saying that we're all identical, but I think there's about like 5 different looks for men. And it's
there's like templates we all sort
like
of fit.
Women have like because they work way harder than we do to like look different at times. They change their hair. So, like you can see someone on a Tuesday, and by Friday, she might have dyed her hair, looked totally different. We don't do that crap. So, like, there's a lot of guys that sort of have the Judd look. I'm not saying it's a good look. I'm just saying it's the
Judd look. We all kind of have a different template, I feel like.
All three of us do, too, by the way. Like, all us three look very different. And
Different.
But there's a lot of people that you could maybe see.
Who would look
couple,
like Jacqueline.
A couple beers in you and you're squinting across the bar. Is that
Jacqueline, we all know.
Skinny guy with good hair.
We all know that our great friend Pat Lager, who will be roaming and manning all these cameras and being like our basically director at draft. There's going to be at least two. I'll put the over under at 4.5.
Yeah.
4.5. Oh,
I would say way more than that.
They'll go up to Pat.
Once the
and say,
once people start getting a couple drinks in them too, Pat Lager is gonna. Declan basically has a twin who is our technical director when we do live events.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be. You guys should dress the exact same. And
Oh, brother, for sure, 100%. You're right.
Yeah. Let's see here, Clayton from Litchfield. Oh yeah, we had a lot of controversy. I would say 70% of you hated the nerd impression that I did.
Wow.
30% very passionately loved it. Maybe more like 60-40. And Clayton from Litchfield says, I thought Mackie's nerd impression was absolutely hilarious, and it perfectly captures the level of annoyance I feel when people are defecating on the necessary moves Kwesi is currently making to build our team for contention. I also feel Declan's pain when being triggered beyond annoyance with certain sounds. I find the sound of some people's voices infuriatingly annoying, especially when they put unnecessarily heavy emphasis on the letters C, K, P, Q, S, T, and X sound.
Wow.
Bro, that's half the alphabet.
That's a lot to be
annoyed by. So Clayton hates when people speak is what it sounds like.
It is interesting that he brings up like sounds that are triggering. I cannot stand when Vinny whines or cries, and I can hear it from my fiance gets after me every time. It's like, if you are having an issue with Vinny, you know, having a little bit of a whimper, what's going to happen when we have kids? Are you just going to explode at the sign of a cry? No, that won't happen. But I cannot
a screaming
hear...
baby. You're gonna have to
deal dude with at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I there's just something about
don't know about this
that whimper sound that just did. I'm like, Vinny, it's okay. Everything's gonna be fine. Why are we whining? Why are we crying?
I go hug Stella. I give her a little bit of oh, hey, what's going on, and she's fine. Boy, that's a really you have no patience, dude.
Well, no, I don't have patience.
Zero patience.
But I mean, you're gonna be I got bad news for you. I don't know that you are. I think you should at least put being a dad on indefinite hold for like a while.
If dog whimpering triggers you.
And what are you going to do if the kid, like the kid will cry at 3 a.m. We start at what? 9 o'clock or so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what time you wake up, but are you prepared to change a diaper at 3 and then like get 2 hours sleep and do this show?
I mean, no one has it down to a science. Like, they can read all the books. I do love Chris Long's idea. Chris Long told me a brilliant idea that I would love to implement. Yes, parenting advice from Judd.
It's not parenting advice, man. I'm trying to help you. Like, these are things that why I didn't have kids.
Chris Long had the deal with his wife where he said he takes the night shift because he's the night owl in that family. Yeah. And he said anything that happens between bedtime and 3 a.m., he handles.
It's on Chris.
On Chris. Anything from 3 a.m., you know, into the 7 a.m., into the early hours, that's on his wife.
Have you pitched this plan to your fiance yet?
I have brought it up to her before. I have brought up the Chris Long plan to her before, and she somewhat gets it.
She's like, that sounds great, Dex. How about actually anything from midnight until 11 p.m. is you just handle it, and then the other hour, if something happens in that 1 hour.
How old was Chris when they had kids?
Probably 40, 41.
I was going to say, dude, 30, I put it on. 40. Yeah, you might want to hold on till then.
My dad was 43 when he had me, and I was his
first. My dad
first
was 40.
My parents was a pleasant surprise into my family of four, but and my parents had me in their early 40s. But, yeah, I if you were to pull her, she would have skipped the wedding and went right into babies.
Oh, so, okay. So we got to get moving here. You might, I think they have like sound therapy. You can maybe,
I
play
sit
a crying
down
baby
with you both
in your
like
headset
for out. Because I don't have kids, so I actually could help right now. Once you get pregnant, I can't help anymore.
Yeah,
pull the ripcord. Yeah,
this is being so helpful right now. Actually,
now I could help. Well, I just don't. I you know what? I want to see this work. I want to see this work. And I feel like with your patience, dude, you have no patience with me, and I'm 54.
I know.
Are you telling me with a 6 month old or a 3 month old or whatever the hell that you're going to have patience? I'm just trying to help.
Last thing on the patience front, I will say I was very proud of myself, and my CPA could not believe it. I did my taxes yesterday, and my CPA kept getting logged out of the software. And, like, obviously, tax software is super security protective, so it kept getting logged out. I was at my CPA's office for about 3 hours yesterday.
Oh.
Because he kept getting logged out. And he kept telling me, you are incredibly patient. Like, I'm so sorry this is happening. And I was like, I'm stuck here because you're going to have to file the taxes. So, like, there's no really resolution to you getting locked out. I was fine, but I was like, okay. You haven't seen me in any other capacity. I don't know why I'm being patient.
Just quickly, I can help here, okay? You don't need to go. We now, like for years, I went and did the same thing. And then I would get the advice, are you saving? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? And, you know, you nod along. Yeah, sure. What I do now, we literally drop our stuff off and have him do it by himself. You don't know what you're looking at. You can't help. Any questions, call you.
But the issue is, with dead parents, I hate to be this person, and some of the dead parent forms you get are not at all accurate and you have to explain what this is. So I don't have the luxury of, here's some W-2s, see you later, bye.
How long are you in this for? The dead mom stuff.
I don't know.
Because it feels like it should be expiring soon. I mean, she's been dead for, what, 5 years?
Yeah.
It feels like this should be expiring soon, but don't let him meet with you.
Are there any accountants that are any certified accountants?
Don't let him schnooker you into going because he wants the company. That's my advice.
Yeah, I prefer to go. That's all.
I'm just full of advice here. Life experience, Declan.
This one's from Dwayne Hurdler. He says, can you guys discuss your thoughts on Bo Nix and why there is no talk of the Vikings taking him, maybe with the 23rd pick? You draft whoever you want with the 11 and then take Bo Nix. I've seen a lot of mocks, though, that have the Broncos taking Bo Nix way before the 23rd pick. So
Absolutely. It
feels like a lot of people are just out on Bo Nix.
I don't think there's a lot of excitement about him. Like, unless there is a league feel that we aren't getting right now, I think Bo Nix is a guy who's sort of just a meh second-round guy.
I don't know. Here's where I'm at with this. Okay. There's the Tyler Fornices and the Thorn Eistroms know 1,000 times more about these players than I ever will, because they watch film all day and they build their lives around this. But my problem with the Bo Nix slander is you have some of the smartest front offices in the NFL, people that get paid 6 and 7 figures to do this for a living. The San Francisco 49ers. One of the top 3 smartest, best front offices in the NFL. A handful of years ago, those people got into a room and said, not only do we love Trey Lance, we love him enough to trade multiple first-round picks to go get him. Mm-hmm. That's how confident we are in Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
One of the dumbest decisions in modern NFL draft history. And of course, because they run a good franchise, it didn't crumble their franchise. But if the smartest people in the smartest front office in the NFL can be that dead wrong, doing this for a living about a quarterback prospect, then how can we be that sure as just idiots on the internet that Bo Nix is garbage, Bo Nix is a bust? Well, I don't know how you can be that definitively confident in your opinion about really any college quarterback, considering that people that do this for a living are wrong a high percentage of the time.
I think the whole Trey Lance thing is, though, and in retrospect, the Niners are probably one of the few teams that would have done that, is the whole thing was basically done on spec. Like, he had barely played. And so they clearly watched some film and thought, okay, Kyle Shanahan, if he puts his hands on this young man, he can fix him. Like, he can develop him. Bo Nix has played a lot and he's older and there's more film. So I think the difference is Trey Lance was a thought. This is what he could be. We have no idea. And then, to their credit, San Fran was like, oh boy, okay, we might have been wrong about that one. I think where there's more certainty on Bo Nix is people have seen Nix, and where I respect Tyler's opinion is Bo Nix has played in 2 very distinctive systems, one of which propped him up, like college, hey, we're going to prop you up, mm-hmm. and one of which didn't. And in the one that didn't, he wasn't that great. So I think Lance is a different thing because Trey Lance was really a theory. He wasn't like this guy with all this film. He was young and had played what he played a game, a one game showcase game because of COVID.
He barely played. But there's so many other examples too. I mean, go look at the 2018 draft. Why was Sam Darnold the third overall pick and Lamar Jackson was the 32nd overall pick?
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, like no, why was Josh Rosen the 10th overall pick? And
yep.
So it's just where people want certainty and they want to have 100% defined opinions on these guys. And the real truth is there's a chance that Caleb Williams is a complete bust and Bo Nix is the 12th best quarterback in the NFL in 5 years. There is a universe in which those two things exist.
Yeah.
So Brian North says, wanted to write this in to scorn my guy, Mackie. Nice. We, as a collective Purple Daily family, have waited for this moment of getting rid of years and years, or wait, of get oh, getting rid of Redacted, because we don't say his name anymore on this podcast.
It's not about the dollars, but it is about what the dollars represent.
Now you're questioning, Mackie, how much draft capital you'd have to give up to grab the quarterback of the future? Don't get me wrong. I understand there's context behind giving up a ton of draft capital. But if it's for their guy that they want, I don't think there's a price that we shouldn't pay. Let's do a quick thought experiment. Everyone think back off the top of your heads. No computers, no cheating. How much did the Chiefs give away to get Mahomes? How much did the Giants give away to get Eli Manning back in the day? How much did the Bills give up to get Josh Allen? If you're like the rest of us, of course you don't know off the top of your head. And honestly, you probably shouldn't care because once you get your guy, nobody remembers what you traded. Is there a downside to this? Of course. But to Judd's point, if you don't trust Kwesi and KOC, then what are we doing here? So I guess my only point is there's like five or six quarterbacks that are going to go in the first and second round. And you have to make a decision. Are you that sure about one of them? So here's six guys you could choose from. To get access to this guy, you might have to give up two or three future high picks and players that could help your team, right? Or you could go grab this guy over here and not give up all that capital. Like, it's not just as simple as trade up, give up two future, three future first round picks and trade up. It's a deep enough class to where it's a conversation. Are you better off drafting a defensive player at 11 and maybe drafting Bo Nix or Michael Penix at 23? Like, people get outraged by that idea. No, you must trade up. What if you trade up and you get Josh Rosen? Like, it's worth discussion over the next month is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I mean, on a quarterback, it's just don't be crazy.
I think the difference is, though, that if they stand pat, if they trade up, if they don't, whatever, the difference is that you have to trust that there's finally someone in the building who knows what they're doing, knows what they're looking at, right? So if they do trade up, there's definitely a strategy there. If they don't, then they just basically said no. So my thing is, when Spielman was here for a long time, you guys, I did say, I don't really trust him here. Like, he's going to draft a quarterback. I think he is, or he is, and I don't trust him. What I'm saying now is, to me, KOC, completely blank slate. Completely blank slate. So what he decides to do, until it's proven that he made a terrible mistake, I at least feel far more comfortable that there's a guy with a quarterback background. Because that's the thing. The Vikings didn't have that. Like, who made that call? And I do think the Teddy call was Norv. And we can mock Norv, but he knew what he was looking at least. Again, I think we're back to somebody who knows what they're looking at.
Okay, I'm getting hammered in the comment section here. Is this warranted? Here's this from Cody. Mackie got what he wanted. Now he's scared. Let's see here. Ray Brock. Mackie's scared. Am I scared? Like, this is more of a thought exercise. I want the Vikings to draft a quarterback. Period. Part two to this is, what is the best strategic way to go about getting a quarterback and building a team?
Right.
Like, am I scared? You guys tell me. I don't know. Am I getting cold feet?
Yeah, I think in articulating it, you sound more scared than you mean to sound.
Okay.
So, like, I think in saying, let's converse about what if, because you're talking about guys, and you're not wrong, potentially being busts. And so I think the viewers are like, hold on a second here.
Right.
But I understand your I don't think what you're saying is scared. I think it's coming out where people are like interpreting it like that.
In 1999, the Vikings could have traded up for Akili Smith. Instead,
right.
They patiently held their ground at 11 and drafted Dante Culpepper.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's my point.
The draft is also at the end of the day. Okay. Everything that has goals in the draft, it's random. The draft is it's random. There is not an exact science of how to get the picks, to nail the picks. There's some randomness to it. Yes, there are guys and people and that are paid to figure out how to make their team better. There are amazing draft analysts out there. But at the end of the day, the draft is random. It is random.
But I think that's where we go to who runs the show, who runs your team. So Kwesi's background, in part, I think, is and was attractive is because he was a stock market guy. And the draft mm-hmm. is exactly that. So it's random, but I do think that if you have some of the best people on Wall Street, your chances of hitting on the random and it becoming yeah. a stock that pays off improves. That's O'Connell. O'Connell is on the floor. He's DiCaprio. And he is on the trading floor. And he's the guy who's going to identify this guy as your quarterback. And so I think that's just and San Francisco, to go back to the Trey Lance thing, which again I think is such an interesting pick. The other thing is, to Declan's point, if you miss, you gotta move on. Like, you can't go down with the ship. Like, that's the thing is, I think what the 49ers don't get enough credit for, right or wrong, I mean, Trey Lance could still play and be good. We don't mm-hmm. know. But right or wrong, they made a decision to take him. They realized fairly quickly in their minds that they had whiffed, and they moved off the stock. Yep. They didn't continue to allow the stock to drag them down.
Yep, and they had some other options in the building. They had a Jimmy Garoppolo still. They went and grabbed Brock Purdy later in the draft, right? Okay, Brandon Ledoux says on YouTube, put it out there then. Who do you want? So real quick,
yep.
And I'll give an answer here. You guys can give an answer. And hey, we have a month to change our answers. It's such a hard question to answer when you don't have any information behind. Like, it'd be nice to spend 5 hours in a room with Drake May to find out. Because this is the thing about Christian Ponder. One of the biggest obvious things about him after about a year and a half with the Vikings. I remember having a conversation with a former Viking one time. This is after like 3 or 4 years. It was clear that Ponder was a bust. And that former Viking said, I was in a conversation, just like an off. It wasn't like a football conversation. It was just a bunch of Vikings players kicking it around, like 6 or 7 of us. And Christian Ponder entered the chat, right? He came walking up and I knew in those 10 minutes, this former Viking said that he couldn't lead a room, that his personality was not enough to lead a franchise. He was too much of a beta. And that's the hard part about this. Like, I have suspicions about Caleb Williams. I know it's taboo to say this, but I think him crying in the arms of his parents after a college football game, that makes me a little nervous. Why are you acting that way? Why are you not in control of your emotions in that situation to the point where you're literally like being held by your mom? And I know people are going to hammer me for saying that, but I think you need to be able to, with a quarterback, you have to be able to spend time with that quarterback. And NFL teams don't get enough time face-to-face because they're being, you know, agents are literally protecting their players from being exposed too much. So without having nearly as much information as we need to answer that question, I think of the realistic options that might be available to the Vikings, Drake May is the guy that I would pick. He's the guy that I would pick. If they're picking at 4, who do I want to fall? I think it's Drake May for me.
I love this because, one, to go back to the Ponder pick, if you recall, Spielman had just been named GM. So he was basically Childress's lackey, and he did the administrative work. But he was Brad's lackey. And so 3 beta males talking. That's funny. He got the job and he and Frazier split control, but that was Rick's pick. And at the time, I said, let's give it some time. We don't know. Rick Spielman's never drafted a quarterback here. Mm-hmm. It didn't work. And then we went sort of down a cycle of, okay, this guy really isn't the greatest at identifying QBs. But the whole thing about personality, and yes, do I think I would be, just speaking for myself, a great starting quarterback personality? No, I probably should play O-line. I'm a fun guy. I like to drink some beers. Am I going to walk into a room and dominate it? It's not even my goal in life. So no. But on the Ponder thing, two things. One is, Phil, if you recall, when we were at Radio Roll Super Bowl week here, we had Greg Jennings on. And I asked him, I said, when did you know? And he's like, know what? I said that Ponder couldn't do this. And he gave a very lengthy, interesting answer. The other thing, and this goes to things that might seem small to you but are huge in quarterback talks, and this is why I would personally get some type of former FBI agent to trail anyone I might take, is because of this one. Some point in the summer, I think it was after Ponder's first year, he and a bunch of the his teammates were out on the lake like July 4th. And they were, you know, just out on a pontoon and stuff. And they're in the water, and there's a bunch of girls there, of course. And Ponder starts, like, incessantly babbling. And so, I'm Christian Ponder, I play court.
Just being like a doofus. I heard this, yeah.
And the story I heard was John Sullivan, his teammate, his center, finally came up to him and said, dude, you're the starting quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. You do not need to tell people who you are. You do not need to, like, beg for attention.
Just chill.
They should come to you. And that's like, yes. Like, as a quarterback, yes. Any other position, I really don't care. But, yep. Like, Phil, that's the thing is, you need to know, and it can't be agent trained speak. So, like, I don't care what you tell me in a room. You've been trained by your agent. I want to know who you are as a person and what you can do when you walk into a room. Can you control that? Can you control a huddle? So I love your point, and that is the key question. One thing I like about McCarthy is this. Two things. One, he played for Harbaugh. Nobody is as demanding. Like, Jim Harbaugh was a quarterback. He knows what he wants. My God, Mike Ditka at the Metrodome almost ripped that man's head off.
Yeah.
So, like, he played for him. And if we're to believe what we've seen, he also wasn't exactly maximized. So, like, he was asked to play within a structure of a system, and he did it. So if you know on tape, hey, there's way more here, I like that because it means that he has the intestinal fortitude when things don't go well, and he's also can fit into a scheme. But you nailed it, Phil. You have to know so much more than, like, just about, hey, the tape says this. The tape says that.
The RAS score is that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great for a cornerback, possibly. For a quarterback,
yeah.
I need somebody that knows that guy inside out.
Yeah. So, okay, so right now, go on the record. I just went on the record. I said,
J.J. McCarthy.
By the way, okay, I'm Drake May. I think I'm okay with J.J. McCarthy, too, by the way. But, Declan?
Yeah, I'm with Judd. McCarthy.
Bo Nix?
No, McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy is definitely the
one. Spencer Rattler.
Well, no.
Yeah. Former Jet scout guy that I referenced earlier actually has Spencer Rattler as his. He thinks Spencer Rattler is going to be the best quarterback in this class, for whatever that's worth. Is there a chance that the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell could see, like, something in a quarterback, a Bo Nix or somebody?
Yes,
that says let's do that at 23 instead. So, anyways,
yep,
there we go. At least
great conversational. That is so interesting.
Before we get to a couple more here. On Feedback Friday, a shout out to our friends at AG1, trusted by top athletes all over the world and top bloviators on microphones like me.
Beta.
AG1 is a simple and comprehensive foundational supplement for whole body health. I discovered AG1 products about 7 years ago now. It helps me fill in nutritional gaps, fortify my body so I can focus on the things that matter most, like speculating recklessly with all of you. Essential vitamins and minerals, nutrients to support daily performance and sustained energy. AG1 is a simple yet powerful step to make tomorrow better for your body. If you want to take ownership of your health, get some of these travel packs like I have right here. It all starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/purpledaily. drinkag1.com/purpledaily. And our friends at Nicolet Law are helping to power this show here throughout the off season. We appreciate their partnership. Nicolet Law, very proud to serve the local communities they live in, which is right here in Minneapolis. Just your normal, everyday Minnesota folks, the ones you see at the gas station, walking the dog, maybe at your local watering hole. And really the only difference is that Nicolet Law, just normal people with law degrees here to help you with injury issues. Maybe there's an insurance company that just doesn't understand that you need a minute to figure out your life. Nicolet Law cares about you. Find out more at 1-855-NICOLAY or nicoletlaw.com. A couple more here, boys. No feedback. It's very spirited feedback Friday today. Andrew from Germany says, I hope this message finds you well. My name is Andrew. I'm writing all the way from Germany. I wanted to take a moment to express my appreciation for Purple Daily. As a devoted fan of the Vikings, I tune in religiously to this podcast to get my daily fix of Vikings news, insights, and analysis. And living thousands of miles from Minnesota, it's not always easy to stay connected. And for me, providing you guys providing a valuable source of information and entertainment throughout the season and beyond has been great. Being able to listen to passionate and knowledgeable individuals like yourselves dissect every aspect of the Vikings is truly invaluable. Your efforts do not go unnoticed. They are deeply appreciated by fans like myself. Thank you.
It's awesome.
Andrew from Germany, man. Mm-hmm. Skull to you and yours.
Yep. In fact, you know what? Hold on a second. He deserves this. I'm going to get the flag out.
Oh, we're doing the flag for all the German fans.
Yes, for the German.
To Germany.
This,
yeah.
This one's for Germany.
Go Max Vikings.
Kepler. Max Kepler, big
skull. Yeah. Three beers.
Oh God, great. Are you referencing Inglourious Basterds?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's one of the. The last time I watched that was on an airplane. Very interesting movie to watch on an airplane.
Oh man,
that was it's when I went to Vegas one, right? A year ago. What's that?
That's a subtitles one, right?
I think it's all in English mostly.
No, it is, but I'm saying, can you understand it all?
No, I would judge right to a degree. It's like a 20%. That scene specifically, I think,
the opening
is a subtitle.
Scene. Oh, that scene.
It's
in
like
the,
it's like 20%. Yeah.
It just helps to
say.
Have the subtitles on, yes. Which I find as I get old is a great thing.
Yeah, subtitles are kind of important.
I'm using it more and more.
Yeah,
Don's
yeah.
A big fan of subtitles.
Lewis chimes in, says, "Love the show, yada yada, all that good stuff." Anyways, just an FYI, a whale is a mammal and a lobster is a crustacean. From our power rankings yesterday.
Oh, fish.
Okay.
Neither of them are fish. I'm not going to explain why, because I'm fearful of you slapping that nerd voice on it as you read it.
I like this guy.
I also remember your hypothetical about being in the stadium with many different animals, and I wanted to give Judd a shout out for siding with the buffalo or whatever large hoofstock animal was the option.
It's a long
time. Oh, that's
ago.
Right. That's
I've worked long, as a zookeeper with many large animals, including hoofstock, and I thought Declan and Mackie shot that opinion down way too quickly.
Thank you.
I thought that exercise was fun. Would love to hear y'all discuss these kinds of scenarios more. So here was the scenario.
I remember this. It was like a year ago.
You're in an arena mm-hmm. with 50 hawks, mm-hmm. 10 crocodiles, mm-hmm. 3 brown bears, 15 wolves, 7 buffalo, 10,000 rats, 5 gorilla, yeah. 4 lions. You get to pick 2 of these groups to help defend you while the others attack you and try and kill you. Mm. Which 2 do you select?
I still think I'm rocking with the rats.
What are they going to... What? In an arena, though, man, like 10,000 rats, that's not filling an arena. They're just going to be scattered all over the place, right?
I don't know if they can defend you, though.
Are they going to work together, or are they just going to be running around looking for cheese?
Yeah. And do you want rats to help me? I don't think I want rats to help me. Rats are very, I don't know about that. Did I say buffalo? I don't even remember.
You did. You were adamant.
You said
about
the 7 buffalo.
Yeah.
It's like having an offensive line.
Offensive line, yeah, because they're huge. Yeah. It's a heavy package, too.
It's the Lions heavy package.
It's a heavy package. I got the guy, this buffalo is declaring eligible.
I forget which ones I went with. There was numerous combinations. I feel like the Hawks, though, was
good.
Thank
you.
Did you list this? Wasn't there a guy with a rifle or something?
One of the iterations did have, like, a human with a rifle or something,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem with the Hawks, too, is are they just going to sit up in the rafters and poop? Or are they going to help?
No, they'll help you. They'll help you.
No, Hawks are weird, man. Hawks are
predators.
Weird.
I saw this awesome one when I was at the driving
like
range on Saturday, just come down and swoop up a rat. Like,
well, they'll swoop
100
up dogs
feet
too.
From me. It was awesome.
Be careful.
So, I don't know. Let us know in the YouTube comment section. 50 hawks, 10 crocodiles, 3 brown bears, 15 wolves, 7 buffalo, 10,000 rats, 5 gorilla, 4 lions. Pick 2. The rest are hunting you.
And next time your poor dog cries, just go give him a hug. Go give him a hug. Don't get annoyed. Little poor Vinny boy whimpering a little bit.
We have 2 dogs this starting tomorrow for a whole week. We get Vinny's brother for a whole week.
Oh, nice.
Vinny and Finn will be roaming the grounds here starting, actually tonight. Tonight is when we go get them.
I love
whimpering and
two dogs is so much fun, though. It's so much fun. I love that. That's great.
All right, boys. I think we've reached the end of our feedback rope here. So, yeah, if you're connected to any NFL front offices, if your cousin's boyfriend's sister's dog,
Ferris Bueller,
has a connection to the Patriots front office, the Commanders, and you want to send us an anonymous email, we are open for business the next 4 weeks. And we will probably read it on Feedback Friday.
Probably.
All right, boys, that's a wrap. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die around here. It's Purple Daily.